Welcome to the podcast of the preaching ministry of Life Point Church. We pray this ministry is a blessing for your life. For more information about Life Point, please visit lifepointozark.com.
Matthew 4:19. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you, form you, fashion you as fishers of men." Verse 20, immediately they left their nets, their old identity, and they followed him. Brothers and sisters, this is the framework for following Christ. And the title of our message this morning, the framework being upward, inward, outward. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a joy it is to turn off our devices, to gather together, to sing your praises, to look at your word. As we do so, I pray that you would speak to us, that we would see more clearly our Savior, the one who is calling us, and that each and every heart would walk more intimately with you, Jesus. And may it all be for your glory, we pray in your name, amen. Well, as you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, let me express how grateful I am to be here. My name is Brent Longenecker. I serve at the Missouri Baptist Convention, which means I get to serve you and churches like you across our state. And so it is a joy to be here, and I hope you are as encouraged as I have already been by our time together. You know, we are commanded in Hebrews 10:24, we're commanded to consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. And I pray that happens this morning for you as a church, for us as individuals. But before we do that, before we consider how to stir up one another in Great Commission living, before we leave this building and give ourselves to the outward goings and doings of a disciple, I want us to first pause and fix our eyes on Christ and consider his framework for our lives. Now, we all have a framework for life. We all have a blueprint by which we map out our days. The question is, whose framework are you following? Right now, if you were to step back and examine your life, your affections, your pursuits, your New Year's resolutions, and you examine the steps of your life, I ask you, whose face has the spotlight in all of that? On whose head lies the crown? Your own or Jesus Christ's? Again, whose framework are you following? About 16 years ago, the Lord called my wife and I to move halfway around the world to serve as church planting missionaries in the Philippines, in the city of Manila. And it's where we served for over a decade, in a city of over 25 million people. And they were enjoyable years, even in a city that large. They were enjoyable, but looking back, I wish that the posture of my heart had been preeminently fixed on Christ. But the truth of the matter is that there were long seasons in my life where I was more focused on the what of missions rather than the why. Fixated on the commission to go, but not on the commissioner, with eyes fixed on Christ. And the result was a ministry based on my performance, where I was constantly comparing myself to missionaries around me, even using the Great Commission as a means to showcase my obedience. all the while forgetting that the great call of Christ isn't go, but follow. And the great commandment isn't make disciples, but to love him with all. And how then and only then can the Great Commission truly be lived out with a love for Christ that grows into a genuine love for others, where submission to him who has authority in heaven and on earth becomes a willingness to go to the ends of the earth in a growing devotion for others, where the framework of our lives is this: upwardly fix on him, inwardly being conformed to him, outwardly made known to all through visible, obedient action. And that's the framework Jesus gives in Matthew 4:19 when he says, "Follow me, and I will make you, form you, as fishers of men." And that's the picture of a disciple. And it's the process by which we make disciples. For what is evangelism? What is discipleship other than leading people to the one you are following and holding fast to? You and I, we are like the woman with the discharge of blood. We are taking hold of the hem of his garments, while, Jude verse 23, we're snatching people from the very flames. Hebrews 6:18 says, "We who have fled for refuge have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. For we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the holy place behind the curtain where Christ has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." He is there on our behalf. And you and I, we look and cling to him while... Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we live as his ambassadors. We implore people on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And that is the description of both your life and mine. In fact, it's been the description of every disciple from the very beginning. Consider Genesis chapter 12. What does God say to Abram? He says, "Follow me into the unknown. Follow me, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." And what does he say here on the shores of Galilee? That same description: "Follow me, and I will make you a blessing." As with Christ's gospel, you lead people as a fisher of men, leading them to Christ. So if you have been, as Colossians 1:13 says, if you've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, then you've been set apart for this, for the task. As J.I. Packer says, for the task of making the invisible kingdom visible through faithful Christian living and witness bearing. So, young man, young woman, you need not ask what the will of the Lord is for your life. This is it: upwardly fixed on him, inwardly conformed to him, outwardly made known to all through visible, obedient action. And we do this for his glory, for the good of our souls, and for the salvation of others. And all of that for the rest of our lives. So join me this morning as we consider this framework, which brings us first and foremost to the upward call of God to follow Christ. Matthew 4:19. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Follow me." And what is their response? Verse 20, but to immediately leave their nets to do just that, to follow him. And that will forever be the foremost action of every disciple of Christ. And anything else that does not proceed out of a life lived in submission, following after him, it can never be called true biblical discipleship, however good it may seem to be in our eyes. Take, for example, 1 Samuel 13. It says that Saul, quote, forced himself when he appointed an unlawful sacrifice, not waiting for the high priest, Samuel. And God's response is clear. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. God says from this point on, he will seek out a man after his own heart. Following after is the only posture of a true biblical disciple. And any attempt to stand in the presence of God apart from God's appointed way, it will only receive God's appointed wrath. So what is God's appointed way? It's God's appointed man, Christ the Son of God, the high priest, the great high priest, who is, as we read in Colossians 1:15, he who is the image of the invisible God. The one, Romans 3:25, whom God the Father put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received and followed by faith. Paul calls this in Philippians 3, the upward call of God in Christ to follow him. And God the Father, he graciously shows us this. In Luke 9:35, when with an audible voice, he spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." For long ago, at many times and in many ways, Hebrews 1:1 says, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So woe to the man who ignores this call, but blessed is the one who listens and follows after. For not only does God the Father point us to Jesus, so does God the Holy Spirit, who came to, John 16:8, convict the world of sin. John 16:13, to guide us into all truth. John 16:14, Jesus says, to glorify me. The Holy Spirit himself guiding us and pointing us to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the one who became to us, 1 Corinthians 1:30. He became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All we need in life is found in Jesus Christ. So learn the lesson of John the Baptist. And stop asking if there is another who is to come. Christ is the one God the Father put forward. Christ is the one the Holy Spirit guides us to and points to. And Christ is the one all of Scripture testifies as being the living water, the bread of life. And God's invitation through his word is to come to Jesus Christ. Come, Isaiah 55 says. Everyone who thirsts, come. Everyone who is hungry, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. For why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? Why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And that invitation of God's word is the invitation Jesus himself gives in Matthew 11, 28 when he says, come all who labor and are heavy laden, for Christ will give us rest. The upward call of God is to follow Christ. We hear this from the Godhead. We hear this in his word. This invitation from God, and it's to be the invitation of God's people. Revelation 22, 17 says, the Spirit and the bride, that's us. The Spirit and the bride says, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take of the water of life without price. And that's the message we extend to people who live in a dry and thirsty land as we lead them to Christ. But you and I are called to lead them to the one we ourselves are following. In John 10, verse 4, Jesus says, the good shepherd goes before his sheep, and his sheep follow after, for they know the voice of the good shepherd. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Or are you listening to a voice of another? Hebrews 2:1 says, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. There are many voices out there, but there is the voice of our chief shepherd who leads his sheep to heaven's green pastures. So Hebrews 12 says, let us then lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely as we run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. For he is the author of our faith. But Hebrews 12 not only says he's the author of our faith, but he's the perfecter of our faith. Which brings us to the second aspect. And that is that all who upwardly follow will be transformed from the inside out. All who upwardly follow will be inwardly transformed. Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets, that old identity, to walk in anew. In this we see that the upward call of Christ is forever attached to and never absent of inward transformation. We know this because there is no fellowship with light and darkness. And because even the smallest step toward Christ, it inevitably involves a stepping away from the world. Ephesians 4 describes it this way, putting off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, as you put on the new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's the upward call of God for your life, that you be inwardly conformed into the image of his Son. So what then does it mean to leave our nets on the shoreline? It means laying aside anything in our lives that would stand to be a stumbling block to us walking with Jesus. Laying aside anything that would steal your satisfaction from being called to identify as nothing in this world, but simply a follower of Christ. Paul says in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. For do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Therefore, Romans 6:11, we must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the framework he is giving us in Christ. Upwardly fix on him, inwardly conformed to him. Romans 8:29 says, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Which means that is God's providential will for your life. Romans 8:28, to work all things together for that purpose. So are you an elder? Are you a deacon? A Sunday school teacher? A greeter? As great as those things are, they mean little to the Father when the real question is, are you following his Son? Are you being conformed into the likeness of Christ? Or are you being conformed to this world? Paul says in Galatians 4:19, I am again in the anguish of childbirth until when? Until the church in Galatia would become regular church attenders, 10% tithers? No, he says, I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Because that's the masterpiece God is making in the framework of a life upwardly fixed on him, inwardly conformed into his image. So lay aside those nets. Lay aside all to follow him. And when should this begin? Verse 20 says, as an example, immediately. Which brings us to the third aspect of this framework, outward, obedient, visible, obedient action. Verse 20, immediately they left their nets and followed him. So when should the upward, inward life lead to outward obedience? The answer is, today. Today. But to what extent? Until every action of our lives is lived in loving submission to him and his mission before us. So that everything we do, everything we are, is driven by a love for Christ and a real, genuine, affectionate love for others, that we use our time and resources for the mission he has set before us, which will take work. And I know we often say, don't be a Martha, be a Mary. But I say to you this morning, be a Martha. But be a Martha who serves with a merry heart. In accordance with the framework of him calling us to himself, conforming us into his likeness to commission us to this world. And this is a life he's calling each and every one of us to. And it's why we must consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. Because there's simply no other way to live other than a life upwardly fixed on him, inwardly conformed to him, outwardly obedient to him and his mission. Therefore, as we close, let me ask this. If the upward call of God is first and foremost to follow him, then what sin in our lives is causing us to take our eyes off Christ? James chapter 2, verse 11 says, each person is lured and enticed by his own desires. What weight, what sin so easily entangles? As a stumbling block, or as something that is stealing our satisfaction from being called a follower of Jesus? Your enemy knows what this is because he often uses it, that very thing, to take your eyes off Christ. If your enemy knows what it is, do you? And are you willing this morning to lay it down at the foot of the cross before a gracious and merciful high priest who intercedes on your behalf? Are you willing to lay it down for the sake of Christ, for the sake of your own relationship with him? Now, this is not a call to religion. We've tried that before. This is a call to consider Christ of greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. It's a call to look to Jesus rather than the fleeting pleasures of sin, to taste and see that he is good. As one pastor said, till sin be the sourest and Christ the sweetest. So what burden of sin do we need to lay down this morning as we follow him? And secondly, lastly, what burden for the lost do we need to pick up this morning? If you have tasted and seen that the Lord indeed is good, then consider then the good you withhold from those who need it most. And I know evangelism, public testimony is a scary thing for us. If it is for you, then let me give you an excuse. If you have been forgiven little, then by all means, speak little. But if you've been forgiven much, do not stop speaking till all have heard how much the Lord has done for you. So as the worship team comes, let us move into a time of response. As we do, consider once more verse 20. It says, immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And I pray you and I would respond in like manner. Let us stand.